This is Alex Peace of EG with Stephen Vernon and Pat Gunn of Greenreed, fresh after their results. Chaps, thank you very much for joining me. I guess the first question is, would one of you like to give us a bit of an overview of what's been going on at Greenreed?
Yeah, well, I'll give you an overview of where we are on three headings, really: the economy, the real estate market, and what Green has been up to recently. So very quickly, in terms of the economy, we're still the fastest growth economy in the EU. We have an unemployment rate that's fallen to 6.3, the lowest in 9 years. We have Dublin-based office employment growing at almost 6% per annum, which brings me to Brexit, which is it's a double story. That it's a headwind. It's not good for Ireland. The perception is that it's a problem for Ireland. But for us, we're in logistics and we're in office development in Dublin, and it's providing us with a tailwind. It's helpful. The market generally in Ireland is still supported by a strong economic backdrop with sustained low interest rates. The Irish 10-year sovereign is down to 73 bips since February. We have record office take-up. Q2 has been a record, and Brexit is part of that. The supply of speculative space is relatively unchanged over the previous 6 months. So a year ago, we said we thought the supply-demand position was manageable, and we still feel that's the case. As far as Green is concerned, these are a very positive set of results, 4 years since our IPO, so it's our fourth complete year. And during the year, we've completed our largest speculative project, which was 150,000 feet in the south suburb of Sandyford. And on completion, we let the entire building to Allied Irish Banks at $4.8 million a year. And then subsequently began Block I, which is just under 100,000 square feet in an adjoining block, which is currently under construction. We have security of income at an all-time high. The WALT is out to about 8 years. We've achieved a first letting in our prestigious Central Dublin project that's going on the corner of Mulzer Street and Dawson Street, where we've let to about half the building to Barclays Bank. And the story around logistics at the airport continues. We've acquired another 30 acres during the year, bringing our total land holding there to about 300 acres, most of the land between the Dublin airport and the M50. And we're building for Coney and Nagel. We're building for a luxury goods retailer. We have built two speculative units, which have been let to DFS and DHL, and we have a couple of speculative units underway there as well. So that's the overview. I mean, we've been focused for the 4 years on building our rental income, allowing us to pay a dividend. We now have 72.8 million of contracted rent annualized, and with the completion of the developments that are currently under construction, we'll be at around 86 million. We're now paying a 3% dividend on NAV against a target of around 4, which we think is doable once we complete those lettings.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you see is the future for Greenreed, really? Where's the growth going to come from? Managing existing assets, investing further into offices, more into industrial, I mean, especially, or not industrial, logistics, apologies, in the current market especially, and with the referendum and the fallout from that still looming on the horizon, as it were.
Yeah, I would say probably all of the above. On the rental side, year on year, our operating profits were up by 33%. And given that we're increasing our rent roll, you would expect that trend to continue. The development, which hasn't really featured in our results up to now, had a significant year, contributing 35% of our total profits for the year. And the existing investment assets, at the moment, we anticipate further yield compression on the basis that Ireland, which is one of the highest growth economies in Europe, also has one of the highest profile in yields for prime CBD offices. So we expect over the next 3-6 months further yield compression in the Irish market, which is witnessed by deals that are happening as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, in which case, the question is, what's the biggest threat to the Irish market? But of course, I'm assuming your answer is going to be the referendum. So, I mean, what are you expecting the effects of this to be, or what are your concerns about the effects of this going to be, and what do you want to see happening in referendum negotiations to avoid that, basically?
At the moment, the only thing that's actually manifested itself is the change in the exchange rate, which is creating a problem, an acute problem within certain sectors of the economy. The big uncertainty is around the nature of the border and whether Britain's position in relation to the customs union and the single market. And these are all seen as issues that may have significant negatives for Ireland. But as I've said before, there's the counter to that, which is, you know, movements from the UK to Ireland. We've seen, you know, not just pure financial sector, but, for example, non-life insurers. There are several of those who've come out and said they're going to take space in Dublin. The real problem is that nobody knows. Nobody knows what form the Brexit will take. And therefore, it's impossible to be definitive about how that's going to impact Ireland. Mm-hmm. But as I said before, the general view is that it's negative for Ireland, but there are bright spots.
Yeah, it is a sweet spot for Dublin offices and logistics, mm-hmm. Which is where we've the bulk of our capital invested.
No, fair enough. Okay, so what's the plan going forward, sort of it's about 18 months, isn't it, I suppose, till the UK will officially leave the European Union. So what's the sort of plan for that 18 months from Green REIT's perspective?
So the big change for us over the last 6 months has been the successful de-risking of our development projects, where we're achieving return on costs of about 45%, yields on costs about 8%. And we've increased the allocation of capital towards spec development projects. So in aggregate terms, and development is typically 10 to 15% of our total book, given that we're a REIT and the majority of the focus is on investment and income-producing assets playing into the dividend story, which Stephen mentioned. In numbers terms, we've increased our projected end value in the development project to £365 million, which is an increase of 44% since our interims in January of this year. And put that in rent roll terms, it's an increase of 49% up to £20.6 million, again since January. And we've had success post-June year-end, where we've secured a further 4.64 million rent out of an aggregate of 69 million on an annualized basis. And the biggest one in that was Barclays, 2.4 million annual rent in probably the best building in Dublin, which is number one Molesworth, which is our marquee project in the CBD. So it's very much focused over the next 18 months to deliver on the development program. To continue to ride the wave of the values on the basis of likely yield compression, and to look to exploit the opportunities in the logistics sector on the basis that we have the most strategic land in Dublin and Ireland, with 300 acres between the airport and the major motorway. So that's a particularly exciting project for us.
Mm-hmm. The Irish market has been very cyclical in the past. Where do you think we are in that property cycle at the moment, and do you think it is going to continue, or do you think it is going to be like it has been previously, or do you think that due to the referendum and due to other economic and macroeconomic factors, there's actually going to be a very different performance across the Irish property market for the next few years?
Sorry, Pat.
No, you go.
Well, it's difficult looking back. You see, the point about Ireland is that prior to the year 2000, we had our own currency. And that impacted on investment in Ireland generally. It meant that the domestic institutions held the domestic equities. It impacted on foreign direct investment, other than in things like manufacturing and the technology sectors. Now, once we entered the euro, we then had the most unbelievable boom, followed by the most unbelievable bust. So looking back, it's difficult to sort of read anything from that. What we're saying now is that the market does appear to be in a phase of much more normality, really, so that we're saying the supply-demand equation is manageable. I think the view is that the rate of startups of new office schemes is not spiraling out of control at all. It's actually relatively sensible compared with the take-up rates. So the economy is doing well. As I said at the start of this, it's still the fastest growth economy in the EU. No one knows what the impact of Brexit will be. And more than that, you can't really say. Rents are still no more than their previous peaks. And they may stabilize at this level. So we may get a kind of a soft landing from this extraordinary recovery, which would be terrific if that happens. And that does appear to be a possibility now, rather than the extreme boom bust that we've seen. But against that, you have to remember, all real estate markets are essentially cyclical.
Yeah, and just to add two points on that, between the last cycle and this cycle, first of all, the capital stack of Irish real estate is dramatically different. In the last cycle, the Irish real estate was owned predominantly by Irish investors, and the bulk of that was in highly leveraged syndicated equity, and highly leveraged being the key word. So we didn't have a deep institutional base. In this cycle, the bulk of the buying has been done by either domestic vehicles similar to ourselves or very well capitalized international vehicles, and a large proportion of capital coming in to secure the prime assets has been from the European pension and insurance industry outside of Ireland. So the combination of the equity ratio has been dramatically up and the ownership been dramatically diversified should give you help on the capital markets environment, particularly with a yield spread of 450 basis points between our 10-year sovereign and property yields. And then on the occupier side, it's exactly as Stephen said.
Well, here's hoping it's far better this time around and it all works out well. Chaps, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
Bye-bye.